of hurting, even in the midst of pain, that is the time that we should trust Him. That is the time that we show who we are and whose we are. That is the time that makes sense for us to do the right thing the right way. There's plenty of room for people to sit, and we just want to do that. But anyway, let's look at Colossians. It's our scriptural affirmation today, starting in the third chapter of Colossians at the first verse. I'll read the first, and then we'll alternate. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Well, Father, sometimes we struggle to give thanks in the situations that we find ourselves in. Sometimes we struggle to understand the way of your providence, but we believe that you are and that you are a good God. And today, Lord, we thank you that we can come and worship you in times like this. We thank you that we can praise your holy name. We thank you that you have brought us together so that we might celebrate your goodness and your grace. We thank you that we have each other to lean on. We thank you that we have your Spirit to hold us up. We thank you because you're a good, gracious, and wonderful God. It's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Have your way in this place this day. You may be seated. Is he welcome for us to praise him? Is he welcome? Lord, no one else wants you. I want you. I need you. I desire you. Today we need you to speak to us, through us. We need you, Lord. Without you, we can do nothing. But through you, we can do all things that glorifies your name. Father, have your way. Come, Lord Jesus. day, I obviously struggle with, how do you do this? How do you share this? These 17 verses out of the book of the Colossians, the third chapter. How do you look at this? And what are we trying to achieve here? And so the last couple verses, verse 16 and 17, it say this. It's a scripture that I quote a lot, a scripture that I have shared a lot over the years. Let the word of Christ, the word about Christ, the word that he gives to us, the word that is the word, the Bible, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, that it's filling you up, that it's making a difference in your life. The word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You know, it's not just that you have these words that are just hanging out there, but you can use those words. Those words change you. They make a difference. There's wisdom. It's more than just knowledge. It's how to employ what you're learning. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching so that you continue to grow in this thing. It's amazing that you can be a Christian for year after year after year after year and still need to learn some things, still need to grow in some things. And the fact is that you still can grow. You can get better in this thing. So you doing all of this, you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Sometimes you have to say, don't do that, or do this, because we want to encourage each other. We want to strengthen each other. We want to help each other. We need each other. Admonishing one another in psalms. Sometimes you like to sing. And hymns and spiritual songs. We sometimes downplay or forget or don't appreciate the value of music. All kinds of music. We downplay and forget the beauty of the Word of God sung and the sentiments of the Word of God shared. What a tremendous thing to say, come Lord Jesus. Well, what a tremendous thing to say, I need you. Oh, I need you every hour. What a tremendous thing to say, great is thy faithfulness. Oh God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. What a great thing it is for us to be able to sing the faith and how that just kind of settles it down in your spirit, settles it down in your heart. We need to be able to sing and to shout and to talk about and to understand what beautiful things the Word of God has for us. And we need to do that with grace in our hearts, grace, that undeserved favor of God, grace, that empowering spirit to allow us to be able to do whatever it is that God has called us to do. We sing with grace in our hearts, knowing that he is fixed in us and he won't leave us nor forsake us. And so we can say, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, whatever you say, whatever you physically do, whatever it is in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, in his character, in his way, in a real sense that what you're doing truly, sincerely, represents what he is doing through you. What he's doing with you. What he's doing in you. Giving thanks. Remember that song? Give thanks with a grateful heart.
Give thanks
to the Lord. Give thanks. Jesus Christ. Yet we struggle to give thanks at times. Because it's difficult. We struggle to give thanks at times because real stuff happens. We ought to be aware that life is, we're not in control. I don't know if you've noticed that, but we don't necessarily get our way. I don't know if you've noticed that it doesn't always turn out the way that we would have liked. I don't know if you've noticed that it's hard sometimes. Twenty-two years ago, I came to this church. One of the first faces that I met was Jerry Goodman. I would have not chosen for him to leave so soon. I would have not chosen for some of the things that have happened in my life to have happened. I would not have chosen those things, but I don't have to mourn as those that have no hope. I can know that because he believed the word that I preach this day, that I will see him again. I can't celebrate his leaving. I can't celebrate an old friend going on before me, but maybe then I can. Maybe I can say, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you've given me hope. I thank you that you have hope for each and every member of that family. I thank you, Lord, that you have hope for the family of First Baptist Church of Garrettsville. I thank you, Lord, that we can look forward and we have a mission while we are upright and breathing so that others can have the same hope that we have, that others can go on like we can. So that's the end of what I wanted to do, is to share that hope, to understand that hope. But how do you get there? Well, you go back to the first verse of what is here in the third chapter of Colossians. Isn't it amazing how God knew? Because we're here. He planned that. This has been planned for months, for a very long time. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We need to be seeking the spiritual thing. We need to be seeking the reality of Jesus Christ. We need to be seeking what we know that we are going to. We need to be seeking not just what we can see with our hands and see with our eyes and feel with our hands. We need to be seeking Jesus. We need to be grasping the fact that he has something more than just this. If this is all there is, we are the people most pitiful But that's not us. That's not us. We need to realize we are risen with him. There is one that we believe that was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, was crucified, dead. He was dead, dead, buried, but he rose again, and we are risen with him. His rising assures that we will be with him throughout eternity. Before the foundation of the world, he chose you and called you and is drawing you to himself even right now. Set your affection, set your affection, set the things that you care about, set it on things above, not clinging to this dirt called earth. Set your affection on things above, not things on earth, for ye are dead. That's if you know him. You're dead. This doesn't move you. This isn't going to get you off your game, because the reality is you know that there's something past this. This is not all there is. Oh, it's frustrating. And you feel hurt. The separation is not what you would have chosen. It's challenging. It's confusing. It's all of those things. But in the end, you are dead, and your life, the real life that you have, is hid with Christ. Do you have your life hid with Christ? Do you know that there's a place where your life is put together and you are protected with him? Do you know that there's a place that you will be forever with him? Do you know that you are his and he is yours? Do you know him today? You are dead and your life is hid with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, he's my life, I know that. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, when he cracks the sky, I'm going to be with it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Who's that on his right side? I think it's David. But will it be you? Sometimes we miss that there's a place for us, a reason for us. We miss. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. 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 So mortify therefore your members. Kill them. Put it to death, which are upon the earth. Fornication. Sexual immorality. Listen, cut it out. You don't need to do that. You have the power of God. But not only sexual immorality. By the way, just so that you notice, there are three lists here that I'm going to talk about. The first list talks about messing up with sex. The second list talks about messing up with your mouth, what you say. And the third list shows you how to live. This first list, it starts with sexual immorality, fornication. The second thing is uncleanness, being impure. Doing things that are not in line with the truth of how you should live. Inordinate affection, having, lusting after something that is not for you, not good for you. Evil concupiscence, wanting what you should not have, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, why is covetousness idolatry? Why is wanting to get your needs met Because, you know, we all have real, honest to goodness, serious, real needs. Why is it wanting to get your needs met is idolatry? Because there is a way that God has designed for you to get your needs met, and if you do it any other way, it means that you think you're God and He's not. It's His way or no way. It's His way. And we need to be about doing it His way instead of making idols out of ourselves and bowing down to worship the foolishness of our broken hearts. Verse 6, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience? It's frustrating to share that one day there will be people that will be permanently lost. And you were once like that. But you don't have to be anymore. In which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But that's not where your life is now. But now, ye also put off all these: anger. Have you noticed that a lot of people just go around with a little low-level anger all the time? You know, just frustrated, just angry. There's so much to be angry about today. From somebody cutting you off in traffic to somebody not doing the thing that they're supposed to do to someone saying something foolish. There's just this low-level anger. I work with idiots, you know, a low-level anger. People around me just don't seem to have common sense. And it just goes on and it goes on and it goes on. But then, you know, their anger all the time, it seems, it burst into a flame of rage. It becomes what the Bible calls wrath. It just sparks, and it's all out of proportion to everything. You ought to not allow yourself to develop that. And then there's malice, where you purposely do somebody wrong. I used to think, nobody ever does anybody purposely wrong. I had a Gran Torino Sport, chocolate brown, orange leather seats with stripes. It was white vinyl top. And I used to hang out New Elm Ballroom. Yeah, I could play pool in those days. And I would hang out there, and I'd get there. I always seemed to have this really nice spot to park in, right on the corner. And I'd park my shiny car with my mag wheels. And well, these people were my friends. I wouldn't have thought of them doing any malice to me until I came out and there was a cigarette put out in my white vinyl top. We see people do stupid things to each other all the time. And those same people would say, well, I'm a nice guy. We put malice away. We put blasphemy away. You know, blasphemy, it's when you're not saying the truth about God. When you say it's his fault, when you say that he's evil, when you say he's not right, when you say something else is him that is not him, that's blasphemy. Filthy communication. I am grieved, really grieved by the state of language today. People swear at each other all the time. Swear at children. What in the world would make anyone swear at a child? But I see it all the time. I see, you know, I love Western movies. I always have. That's kind of a holdover from what my daddy and I used to do. We would sit and watch movies. I turned on a Western the other day. I won't even tell you which one it was. And I was shocked. They swore so much. It was not enjoyable. It made no sense. It didn't further the plot. It didn't. What's your language like? How are you speaking to people? How do you talk to people? You like those guys overseas? They when the revival hit, they couldn't get their mules to work anymore because the mules didn't understand them any longer. Some of us need to just clean up our mouths. Verse 9 says, lie not one to another. Some of you have been living a lie. You say you are a Christian, but this whole list is you. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man. When you confessed your sins, you were able to take off the old man. You don't have to dress in that costume anymore. You can let that go. The old man put it off with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You are made to be like Jesus, to look like Jesus more and more and more. You're being changed. And I like this little combination of things here. In verse 11, it says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, there's neither, you know, it doesn't matter which race you are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're circumcision or uncircumcision. It doesn't matter whether you're religious or unreligious. It doesn't matter if you've come to a family that told you all of this stuff or didn't tell you anything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're barbarian or Scythian. It doesn't matter whether a person never knew all of the things that he should or that he was just a cutthroat, no good guy. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you were bond or free, whether you were rich or poor, whether you were what state you found yourself in. What matters that Christ is all and in all. Christ is the game changer. All the rest of that stuff does not matter. We are brothers and sisters not because of any of the other stuff, but because we know Jesus as Lord and Savior. So let me rush along here. I've been preaching for a while. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. You are holy, set aside. You are beloved. He loves you. Bowels of mercies down deep inside. You need to have mercy. Just think if they didn't give you mercy. You need to have kindness. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Be humbleness of mind. Don't think too highly of yourself, but think soberly, as each man has been given wonderful gifts. Meekness. You are strong, but strong in Him. Stop trying to do it all yourself. Be led by Him. Long suffering. Put up with each other. We're a mess. Let's face it. We're all a little bit crazy. Speak for yourself. So maybe we ought to learn to put up with each other, knowing that each and every individual is fearfully and wonderfully made by God, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, let's put it aside. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. That's love. Put on love. Put on agape, which is the bond of perfectness. That's what holds us together. And let the peace of God rule in your heart. It's like an umpire, and the play is really close, and it happens, and the umpire says, "Safe." Safe. We are safe in Him. We are safe. We are safe in Him. Do you know that you are safe in Him? No matter how close it looks, no matter how far you've gone, you can be safe in Him. And when you're safe, you can stand up with peace in your heart. Peace. Peace in your heart. So, that's why you let the word of Christ dwell on you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. That's why you do that, so you might experience that peace. So from this day, from this moment, in spite of all that we are facing at this time, in spite of all that, everything you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I will not pretend that this Christian life is not difficult at times. I will not pretend that it's not hard to believe sometimes. But I know that I know that I need Him, and that He is good to me, and He wants to be good to you. Would you bow your head with me? Today you might want to pray, "Dear Father, help me to be one who gets it, who understands, who has that peace. Maybe I wasn't even sure I need it. Help me to believe. Draw me to yourself. I don't know what to do in the face of death. I don't know what to do at times like this. So I turn my face toward you. Have your way. And help me to accept that today. It's in Jesus' name I pray and give thanks. Amen. As the guys are playing, feel free to come to the altar. Love to pray with you. You can pray alone. Feel free to pray with each other. But I'm asking you, give yourself to God. It's worth it. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.